6:30 having arrived, I will call to order the special common council meeting of Tuesday, August 20th, 2024, and ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Alder Madison?
Here.
Alder Madison is present. Alder Martinez Rutherford?
Present.
Alder Martinez Rutherford is present. Alder Mayanze?
Present.
Alder Mayanze is present. Alder Rummel?
Present.
Alder Rummel is present. Alder Tischler?
Here.
Alder Tischler is present. Alder Revere?
Here.
Alder Revere is present. Alder Vitavere?
Here.
Alder Vitavere is present. Alder Wahele?
Here.
Alder Wahele is present. Alder Bennett?
Here.
Alder Bennett is present. Alder Conklin?
Present.
Alder Conklin is present. Alder Curry?
Here.
Alder Curry is present. Vice President Duncan?
Here.
Vice President Duncan is present. Alder Evers?
Here.
Alder Evers is present. Alder Field?
Here.
Alder Field is present. President Figueroa Cole?
Here.
President Figueroa Cole is present. Alder Govindarajan?
Here.
Alder Govindarajan is present. Alder Uguer?
Here.
Alder Uguer is present. Alder Harrington McKinney?
Harrington McKinney here. For the record, I will keep my camera off because of medical reasons.
Alder Harrington McKinney is present. Alder Knox?
Here.
Alder Knox is present. Alder Latimer Burris is excused. And with that, Madam Mayor, we have quorum.
Thank you. All right, so just as per usual, I'll remind us that we're here to do the business of the residents of the city of Madison. I'd ask us to do that with grace and kindness and respect for each other, and to, of course, refrain from using profanity in our remarks. And we have no honoring resolutions or any other items on tonight's agenda. So the first thing I have to ask you is if there are any disclosures or recusals on tonight's agenda. Seeing none, then we will go on to items referred to this meeting. The item on our agenda is Legistar 84443, authorizing the scheduling of a referendum related to exceeding the municipal property tax limits in the city of Madison. President Figueroa Cole, a motion, please.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt. We'll start with questions for staff, if there are any. Their discussion. Director Shaky.
Thank you, Mayor. I think the motion would be the substitute, if that's what you're trying to adopt. So,
yes, thank you for the reminder. Is there any objection from the body that the motion is to adopt the substitute? Seeing no objection, that's what's before us. It's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion on the substitute? President Figueroa Cole.
Is it possible for Dave to just provide an overview of the substitute, please? Thank you.
Director Schmidtke.
Thank you, Mayor. Certainly. So the substitute that's before you essentially updates numbers that were in the original resolution based on both information provided by the Department of Revenue on August 15th, as well as the impact of the city's debt issuance, which also occurred on September 15th. I sent an email to the council yesterday working through the specific numbers. I'll talk generally about the changes. First of all, is the amount of the increase or the limit, which in the original resolution was estimated at 2.5% Based on Department of Revenue numbers, that's now been updated to 2.97%. And that's the combination of what's called net new construction. And we also get a factor that's added for the half of the value, the incremental value in any closed tax increment districts. So those two numbers together add up to the 2.97%. The other change, or another change, is in the maximum allowable levy under the state levy limits. That's been changed to the number you see in the substitute, which is $296,149,162. That reflects the combination of the new net construction and closed TID factors, along with the debt service change that occurred based on the actual debt service amounts from the sale on August 15th. The other change is simply it's still an additional 7.4%. And then because of the slightly lower levy limit maximum, adding the $22 million to that slightly changes that total number of what the levy, the maximum allowable levy would be changed to, which is that $318,149,462. So that reflects the, I think, the substantive changes in the referendum question and in the resolution.
Thank you. Alder Conklin, questions?
Thank you, Mayor. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but is this the right time that we're talking about what Marsha, the substitute that Marsha put in front of us? Are we speaking on that or no?
Not yet.
Okay, thank you so much.
Are there other questions for staff at this time? If not, it's been moved and seconded. Alder Rummel.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Alder Conklin, for presaging this motion to adopt the amendment that I submitted to you all, and as in Legistar. Instead of $22 million, it would increase the amount to $29 million, and explains more about moving the special charge amount.
Alder, is that a motion?
It's a motion.
Great. So Alder Rummel will move a second substitute. Is there a second for the second substitute?
I'll second it for the sake of discussion.
Thank you, Alder. So moved and seconded the second substitute, which I believe you all have available to you. Alder Rummel, would you like to speak to it more?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, everyone, for considering this, because on the very surface of it, it appears to be asking more when we're hearing alarm from all our residents and about a referendum. And so I understand your hesitation. But in March, my journey started on this topic of the special charges and buying them back. And I did not come up with this idea, and I understand several of you also spoke with Street Superintendent Charlie Romines, who did come up with this idea of buying back the special charges as a way to add, because it's more equitable for taxpayers on some level to use the tax levy to pay for services, and it is a more regressive special charge tax. And also it creates opportunities, because we're not just looking at 2025, but we're looking at the next 6 years to create a little more wiggle room in the levy limit and the options that are before us. So I thought about this for a long time and decided not to move all of the two special charges, the urban forestry charge and the resource recovery, but just to move the urban forestry charge that's estimated for next year to be $7.5 million. And At first, I just didn't realize it was at 7.5 million, and I asked to move 7 million, and then talk through the what it meant to leave a half a million in the special charge, which I think Director Schmidicke can help answer if anyone does have questions about that. But then I worked with staff to kind of explain it, and you know, I think on the bottom line is for the average taxpayer, it seems kind of odd, but asking for more money, but it's moving pots of money around is going to cost them less. So, but at some point, you know, some taxpayers will pay more, you know, and there's that information in the letter I sent you, and to some degree also in the fiscal note. So I thought I would put it on the table because it seems like, you know, we went through that process in April of trying to figure our values and priorities and what was some of the things that were guiding us. And as you all may recall, I amended that substitute. And one of the things I really, it didn't maybe seem like it made sense to you, but I put in there the thing about moving away from non-tax property tax revenues, because I thought about how we could manipulate this special charge. Anyway, so I'm putting it before you. I think it's a modest benefit for taxpayers, but I will stop there and try not to chime in a lot, but I might speak some more.
Thank you, Alder. So it's before us is the Rummel second substitute. Are there questions for staff on the second substitute? Alder Conklin.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Alder Rummel. I apologize for not addressing you correctly last time. So I did have some questions for staff because I want to know what exactly buyback means. Like, can we just explain the process more of how this 7.5 or 7 million, tell me how this is going to work. I just need to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Alder Conklin, with the amendment would do, Alder Rummel's amendment, is to increase the amount of the referendum question from $22 million to $29 million, so a $7 million increase. It would reduce the urban forestry special charge, which is estimated for 2025 to need to be at about $7.5 million. It would reduce that by $7 million to $500,000. So the special charge would remain in place. What the amendment does is basically ask the council, when it is completing its work on the 2025 budget, assuming a referendum under this proposed amendment is adopted, would reduce the urban forestry special charge by that $7 million. The urban forestry special charge at $7 million is about $84 per year for an average basically customer or property owner. So that would be probably a homeowner, for example. So under the amendment, the reduction or the increase in property taxes would add $73 per year in taxes to the average value home compared to the $22 million substitute amendment. It would decrease that $84 related to the urban forestry special charge. So that's that idea of an offset. And then, so as you'll notice, for somebody who has an average value home, they would see a net decrease of about $11. That decrease gets larger for properties that are have a value that's lower than $457,000. And then actually for properties above roughly $525,000, they would end up having to pay, you know, more in that combination of the reduction in the urban forestry special charge and the increase in the property tax. And that's because the property tax is, you know, assessed on a rate basis, a percentage, and the urban forestry special charge is a flat amount put on each property. So that's the interaction that would occur under the proposed amendment.
So if I get this right, if we ask for $7 million more dollars to help with the urban forestry charge to alleviate some of that debt, then they will ultimately pay less if the referendum passes for their property taxes? Is that what I understood?
The combination of the $7 million additional increase in property taxes compared to the reduction in the urban forestry special charge. For those who have a property, a home that would be valued at or below $525,000.
Okay. And what did you say about the 457 if their home was valued less than?
The 457,000 is simply the average value home in the city.
Okay. Gotcha. But you're saying if it was less than what was the last numbers you just said? 525?
About 525,000. That's where it sort of breaks even.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Alder Tischler, questions?
Yeah. So, Dave, if we stay with the originally proposed referendum of $22 million, is that going to cause any change to the urban forestry? I mean, we'll still be that. It's not like that money is going to go away. We'll just be the same status quo, correct? And then the other question is, because a question was asked a while back about how increases in the referendum also affects renters, and I'm wondering if you crunch those numbers at all for this additional dollar amount.
On your first question, the assumption is that the urban forestry special charge would remain in place based on the cost to continue estimates. It's assumed that the amount of the special charge would be $7.5 million in 2025. On your question of renters, Alder Tischler, did you mean for the $22 million? Is that the...
Well, you sent numbers for $22 million. I'm just wondering if you've had time. I know there's a lot of numbers have been thrown at you in recent days, but have you had a chance to crunch numbers for the $29 million?
I can do that pretty quickly. So at the $22 million increase, the estimate, and I want to be really clear that this is a very sort of rough estimate. We don't nearly have as much information on sort of individual apartment units, for example, compared to the average value home. So I just want to say the numbers I'm giving you with that very strong caveat. But at the $22 million increase level, the estimated annual tax associated with that on what sort of an average rental unit would be about $85 a year or about $7 a month. For at $29 million, that would increase to $112. So roughly $27 more and a couple dollars more per month.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Commander Rogers, question?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for crunching those numbers, Dave. I'll start my question kind of based off what Alder Tischler was asking. In your example you just gave with the average rental unit, can you explain what the average rental unit looks like? Is it a duplex? Is it multi-family housing? What does that look like?
As I said in my answer to the other question, this is a lot of caveats with this. This is really based on a combination of some information from planning, community, and economic development that looks at averages for fourplexes, eightplexes, a recent sort of remodeled apartment building, and then some newer buildings, and just takes the average of all of those. So it's kind of an average of a variety of different types of multi-unit buildings.
Okay. And if I might interject real quick, multifamily units pay a higher urban forestry special charge as well. So they pay $153 and some change a year versus the $85. So that change is based on single family versus multifamily. So the property value may be worth more in a multifamily maybe, but the discount from the special charge would be greater as well.
All right, thank you. So I want to ask, when it comes to the urban forestry special charge, understanding that multifamily unit housing, they pay more, how does that charge kind of get spread across the city? Like, who actually pays into it? Is it all residents? Is it maybe the property owner? Can you delve into that?
Alder Govindarajan, do you mean for renters or just generally the types of...
Generally, but also renters, yes. Like, my focus mostly renters, but I'd like to get an overall perspective as well.
Sure. So the urban forestry special charge will be paid by the property owner, whoever that is. And then it's really up to the property owner if they have lessees, how that's distributed. And that could be affected by the lease and other sort of arrangements. The urban forestry special charge is basically on a variety of types of property, groups of property. That includes residential, multifamily, commercial and industrial, and then some government customers. And then there are stormwater parcels that as a class, that some of which are government owned. So let's say the city stormwater utility, and some are vacant properties upon which the stormwater charge, as well as the urban forestry special charge, is assessed. And so the rough distribution of that for residential, and this is in the fiscal note, a little less than 2/3 is residential. 10% is that commercial, industrial, government's about 4%, and multifamily 6%, and those stormwater parcels are about 15%. Now, the Paul Gauthier asked us to look at what's the sort of share of urban forestry special charge parcels that are tax exempt, and we did a quick look at that this afternoon, and determined based on the 2023 urban forestry special charge, about 11% of the charge revenues come from tax exempt parcels. That would include government parcels, government owned parcels.
Okay, understood. I'm trying to get an idea of, like, if we did decrease the special charge a little bit in favor of increasing the referendum $7 million, who that would benefit. Understanding that the multifamily units are about $153, is that per customer, per property, per unit? Can you answer that?
I think that's per parcel. Charlie might have that information, but again, we have not done that analysis, and I would really hesitate to make that sort of leap in terms of how that would be distributed by, you know, to each of a unit and a multifamily parcel. We were able to look, I think, pretty readily at home value because that is a pretty clear class, and make that comparison.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alder. Alder, are you here?
Thank you, Mayor. And as you just heard from Director Schmidicke, we were corresponding this afternoon for a piece of information that I thought might be relevant once we look not at the next year or two, but we take a look at that longer span that we're now trying to accomplish in the long range plans for the operating budget. But I would like to say I've been intrigued by this concept of the swap ever since Mr. Romines described it to me, and I'm just delighted that Alder Rummel put it forward so that we could really get some thought put into it. But since seeing the Rummel alternate, I've been thinking a lot about how this works out in that multi-year plan if we had an approved $22 million versus an approved $29 million referendum. And that's what brought me to ask the question about the proportion of a fee like the forestry and so forth that also go to properties that don't pay property tax, or at least don't pay all of it. And I think that's important in that circulated long-range plan with an approved $22 million. It's, I think, in year three, basically the 2027 fiscal operating budget, where we start to need to increase fees to do that. And in that version, of course, there could be 1,000 other versions. We look at bringing in a $10 million increase in fees of one sort or another in that time. Let's suppose that we're bringing back and resuscitating the forestry one at that point in time, and we essentially have to bring it back. And I think mathematically, and that's going to be my question for Director Schmidicke, I think once that comes back, then we start to see the impact of the fact that when we raise a dollar off of fees, as regressive as they might be compared to the property tax, raising a dollar there means that 89% of that dollar gets apportioned to property taxpayers, but 11% gets apportioned to parcels that don't pay property tax. And so as that accumulates over time, I think it may overwhelm the savings that we would get for a couple of years more progressively for lower valued properties. And I realize that's kind of complicated math, but Director Schmidicke, if you could just, am I thinking properly about that, or have I got my math all tied up and incorrect? It seems to me that that 11% could be pretty important once we get past the first couple of years in terms of offsetting the benefits, the progressive benefits of the first couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, one way to look at it. I will say that the 11%, and I just want to be clear about this, that some of that is government-owned properties. So while they may be tax-exempt, they're effectively paying the charge from some sort of revenue that's provided by a ratepayer or a taxpayer or something like that. So in contrast to perhaps other tax-exempt parcels that are paying from other types of revenues, whether, let's say, it be a hospital or something like that, just so we're clear on that. I think, you know, the special charge, you know, at a very basic level compared to the property tax, there is some difference in progressivity and regressivity just because the special charge and the way that it has to be assessed is going to be effectively in the major classes like residential, a flat fee. And so as a result, lower value properties will proportionally pay more than those that are higher value properties compared to the property tax, which is a percentage. Now, looking at the totality of what might need to be done over the next 5 years, having a higher percentage of property tax revenue in that, you know, all of the things being equal, might be slightly more progressive than, you know, the lower property tax amount and higher special charge amount, because what's that mix of revenues going forward? But again, a lot of this is on the margin, and with the special charges, whether it's 11% or maybe it's closer to 6 or 7% when you take out the government owned properties, that's going to be pretty narrow on the margins. But it does help to be able to have some portion of that revenue coming from from tax exempt parcels, even though it is a small share of that revenue stream. I hope that helped answer your question. So,
yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Other Curry questions?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to profusely apologize, but my brain hurts. And I appreciate all the work that has gone in to make these calculations and provide some glimpse, but we know that's all an estimation. And I thought I had it until Alder Uguirre maybe made me question. So I want to clarify the special resource urban, you guys know what I'm talking about, special recovery costs. $7.5 million will be come back if this substitute goes forward with the increased referendum amount. But for how long does that carry? Just for 2025 or through 2027?
So it would replace $7 million of the urban forestry special charge. And that's really up to the council in future budgets. So the first step would be, in terms of what's in the amendment, the council would have to decide in the 2025 budget to reduce the special charge by $7 million. This amendment does not do that. It simply adds $7 million to the property tax increase and requests that the council, in its adoption of the 2025 city operating budget, reduce the special charge amount by $7 million. And then the question is, what happens in future years? Now, what the mayor described in the July council meeting in terms of the plan, we need some form of revenues in future years because the structural deficit remains an issue. Clearly not at the level we're looking at in 2025, hopefully, but some decisions are going to need to be made around whether it's, you know, new special charges, putting back on a special charge that might be taken off through this amendment, or other approaches, possibly reductions in services and things like that. But that issue will be in front of councils in future years.
Thank you, and thank you for that reminder of the task in front of us and what we actually have control of and what is in the future. I think I still am a regular Madisonian like everyone else, but have the privilege of receiving more information or having a robust, whether we like it or not, amount of information, but how to regurgitate that and even be able to share that in a tangible way for folks to understand. I think, I don't know if it's just me, but it's a very complex issue, but it's still thoroughly confusing. And so the reminder that 2025 and beyond, we can't control, but 2025. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? All right, seeing no further questions, what's before us is the Rummel Amendment. Is there discussion?
I just really want to commend Alder Rummel for bringing this forward. It's an important discussion to have. It really does have us have the discussion about regressive versus progressive types of taxes. My concern is that there's so much misinformation among the public right now that trying to float an idea of a larger amount than is quote unquote needed, although we've obviously addressed that it will shift costs in a different way, will wind up harming us even more in terms of being able to actually pass the referendum. So I really want to be able to say, I would love to be able on a theoretical basis support this. And I think that what we've seen is that we have enough of the populace that doesn't support a referendum at all because they simply don't understand why we're here. They blame us for the structural deficit that the legislature and former Governor Scott Walker caused, that I'm not able to vote for it this time just because I think that the PR problem is too great. So I appreciate it very much. Having this discussion is important. I commend Alder Rummel. And at this point, I'm not going to vote for this increased amount of the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Martinez, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think that I agree with Alder Vitiver and on the fact that it's a hard sell. 22 million is a hard sell. And for regular people who, like me, like this is, you know, mind-boggling to me how much money, first of all, is in there and how much we need. And the misinformation is just ridiculous. The just disingenuity from former leaders has really muddied the waters as well. And looking at 29 million feels so daunting to me that I am not sure I can get behind it, especially if it's only nominal from what I'm understanding, and only for a limited, finite period of time. So I'm leaning towards no, but also, like, how wonderful of you, Alder Rummel, to bring it to us to say, this is, you know, maybe we can be a little less regressive here. And I definitely want to thank you for that. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Tischler?
Yeah, I also want to thank Alder Rummel too. I think it's just a question of timing. And I think with the comments before that this is very confusing, and just the idea of having to raise the taxes in order to lower taxes can get confusing. So, but I like the progressive thinking here, and again, I think it's just a matter, just the timing is just not good in the situation, at least for me.
Thank you, Alder Rummel.
Thank you, Mayor. You know, I understand the timing, but please think about how many people don't even know there's a referendum, really, or what amount. So I think at some point we have, whether we don't approve this and we approve the 22 million, we have our jobs cut out for us as alders trying to explain not just next year, but 6 years. And I really want to go out of my way to thank the mayor and staff that helped prepare the July 2016 memo with those two graphs. I've printed them out. I mean, these are like, this is a go-to thing for me. And when you look at without a referendum and with a referendum, either way, at some point there are dramatic new special charges. So are we going to start telling people now what this new special charge is? And I won't pretend to be able to explain what an infrastructure charge is versus what a library charge or a parks charge could be. But they're coming back. They're coming, not back, but they're coming forward, or something's coming forward. So either way, either we have a referendum of whatever amount, or we don't, we're going to have more, people are going to have to pay more money at some point. I don't really see how we cut our way out of this problem. So then the question is, when I went to those public meetings, some people were like, you can't just like take money and just cover over, Band-Aid what the gap is. What are you doing different? And that's why I think this idea has some value, because it's doing something different. It's basically, if we pass the $29 million, and we'd have to explain it, most taxpayers would be paying the same as if there were a $27 million referendum and an urban forestry special charge at $7.5 million. It's just in different pots. Either it's on your municipal services bill or it's on your property tax bill. And yeah, I get house tenants and, you know, there's it's not like, you know, a thing you just divide up equally. I get that. But I think at some level, if it's a nominal difference. But, you know, when we're telling people, oh, it's only 85 cents a day or 65 cents a day, well, this would be 85 cents a day. I mean, we get into that fine grained level when you look at it like this. It seems like reasonable to me, but I understand that, you know, at some point I've been telling, you know, anyone who listens, I'm worried that this thing won't pass in general, but at some point I thought this was a good faith effort to have a little more equity in our approach. And I know that was one of our goals. So with that, I understand the timing is confusing, but I think anytime you start saying, here's what we do, and you tell people that it's not a whole lot more money with this way, it's just differently allocated money. But I know, I mean, we're all kind of clever people. I think we could talk it, but, you know, I respect everyone's decision. But I'm going to vote for it. Thank you. Hopefully I won't be the only one.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Kevin Brown.
Thank you, Mayor. I really want to show my appreciation to Alder Rummel for bringing this forward. I think it was a good conversation. But I think I will be voting against this. I understand, like, at the base principle of this, this is just a restructuring of the sources of funding we get for the city, and it might even save some money in taxpayer money for people. But I think we as a council, just as Alder Vitiver mentioned earlier, we might just need to show the public that we are capable of some kind of fiscal restraint and prove it to them before we consider asking for more than what we need. If we can show that later this November, then maybe I would feel a little bit more comfortable asking for that additional $7 million. And I think that's what we've really been hearing from people, especially with the public comment that happened during the last meeting. There has been a lot of misinformation, but I'm a little bit also worried that we might not necessarily have enough time to correct that misinformation when there's so much out there coming from such influential people in the city as well. So I'll be voting against this. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Well, they're not.
Thank you. I was definitely inclined not to support this, but, you know, I think one thing I think about that Alder Rummel brings up is when we deal with these complex issues, these special charges start, and a lot of people have communicated to me about looking like we're nickel and diamond people. We're adding these little special things for this, special tax for that. We add the wheel tax, we add this, that, and it starts kind of, even though it may be more equitable, it still feels like the taxpayers getting nickeled and dimed. So, I mean, I think she makes a good point. It simplifies the thing. They're going to pay it anyway. Maybe we actually get a little savings on it. And so she changed my mind. I'm inclined to support it.
Thank you, Alder. Alder, you here?
I know that on any day when I've said something that could possibly confuse Alder Curry, I probably haven't explained things very well, because I know how astute Alder Curry is. But to simplify what I was trying to discuss in relationship to that difference between how taxpayers are affected by whether it's 11% difference or 7% difference, the point of that was that when I look out at the longer term, it tends to eliminate over a period of time the progressive benefits that come from this concept of how we might shift and have a more equitable approach on the property tax side. It tends to wear away from that after time. And after all, $7 million, if it's 11%, that's $770,000 a year that we're not collecting but otherwise would collect from otherwise parcels that don't do it. So the net result of that is that I think, depending on how fast, by my calculation, depending how fast we could get some relief from the state, it could be a wash, or ultimately, it could be actually somewhat detrimental on an equity approach to miss that opportunity on the volume of revenue that we would obtain from not non-property taxpayers. So I'm reluctantly, after being intrigued for so many months about this possibility, but I'm going to vote against this version because I don't, aside from, because I agree, it's if I can't describe it well here, I think I'm probably going to have a real problem describing it to some of the residents of District 19. I think there is that issue as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Madison.
Thank you, Mayor. Definitely shout out to you, Alder Rummel, for creating this. I definitely love the idea. When I first saw it, I was like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. But as I sat with it and then hearing the comments today, I just think it would be a difficult sale. Like, we will have a difficult time selling it and getting other folks to really understand what we're meaning. And I'm saying this too, knowing that previously we decided not to fully fund the new communications position, which is Dylan's job. And so it takes so much time to communicate new information to folks, and we're already not able to communicate well enough what actually is true. I think we're doing a good job communicating, but we're not all together able to sort of, I don't know, cut back on some of the misinformation. Like, that's more of a challenge I feel like we're facing. And every conversation, it feels like I'm re-explaining what the facts are to sometimes to the same person because they're getting misinformation from somewhere else. And so unless we're also finding some dollars to also increase our ability to educate and to communicate with folks, I think we're going to be just sort of like referred to as folks who pulled a switcheroo on them. And we came to them, you know, with I think we started at $27 million, then we brought it down to $22 million. And then if we bump it back up to $29 million, we don't know what can happen in the press. So I really do believe it's a great idea. The only reason I'm going to vote no is because how much information we've already shared, and we're still battling misinformation and disinformation, and the level of staffing that we don't have and that we decided not to fully fund to actually communicate this information that will be necessary. So I'm voting no for just the communications piece alone, not for the actual proposal.
Thank you, Alder. Is there any further discussion on the Rummel amendment? Alder Rummel.
I just want to say for the record that letter I sent you was immensely helped by our PIO, Dylan Brogan, and he came up with that in hours of looking at the fiscal note. So I think we're capable of explaining the details of how it could benefit different kinds of taxpayers. So, you know, I just wanted just to state that. And I also want to appreciate Director Schmidicki and Christine for helping me, you know, understand how to put forward a good amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. No other Alders in the queue. So on the Rummel amendment, we'll do a roll call because I anticipate some disagreement. All those in favor of the Rummel amendment, aye. Those opposed, no. As your name is called, and I'll ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Alder Madison?
No.
No. Alder Martinez Rutherford?
No.
No. Alder Mayanzi?
No.
No. Alder Rummel?
Yes.
Aye. Alder Tischler?
No.
No. Alder Vivier?
No.
No. Alder Vitavir?
No.
No. Alder Wahelier?
No.
No. Alder Bennett?
No.
No. Alder Conklin?
No.
No. Alder Curry?
No.
No. Vice President Duncan?
No.
No. Alder Evers?
No.
No. Alder Field?
No.
No. President Figueroa Cole?
No.
No. Alder Govindarajan?
No.
No. Alder Uguer?
No.
No. Alder Harrington McKinney?
No.
No. Alder Knox?
Aye.
Aye. Madam Mayor, I have 2 ayes and 17 noes.
Thank you. With 2 ayes, the Rummel Amendment fails. But I do also want to add my appreciation to Alder Rummel for bringing this forward. I think it's a really important issue. And if we can, over time, help to educate people about the dynamics between the property tax and special charges, I think that would be to the good of our community. So what's before us is the main motion, which is the substitute. And is there discussion on the substitute? Seeing none. Then Alder Tichberg.
Right. I just want to emphasize this. I mean, and this is in the fiscal notes, but this is the first time that the Common Council has been asking residents to increase the levy. So we are, I mean, again, this is only going back to 2005, but so I wanted just to make that point. And also that this is $22 million on top of what the levy increase. So that wasn't always clear. I'm mainly just talking just to remind myself what I will be voting on. But I just wanted to get that out. That's all. That's the discussion really with myself. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Alder. Is there any further discussion on the substitute? All right, seeing none, then I think given the weight of the decision, we'll do a roll call. All those in favor of the substitute, aye. Those opposed, no. As your name is called, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Alder Madison?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Martinez Rutherford?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Mayadze?
Can you come back to me, please?
Alder Rummel?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Tischler?
Yes.
Aye. Alder Vivier?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Vitavir?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Wahele?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Bennett?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Conklin?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Curry?
Yes.
Aye. Vice President Duncan?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Evers?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Field?
Aye.
Aye. President Figueroa Cole?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Govindarajan?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Uguer?
Aye.
Aye. Alder Harrington McKinney? I'll come back. Alder Knox?
No.
No. Alder Harrington McKinney?
Alder Harrington McKinney, you're muted. There you go.
Sorry about that. No.
No. Alder Mayadze?
Aye.
Aye. Madam Mayor, I have 17 ayes and 2 noes.
17 ayes, the item will pass. And that will bring us to the end of our agenda. And Alder Madison, I'm sorry, Attorney Haas, I completely forgot. Can I have unanimous consent from the body? There is a space between the dollar sign and the numbers 22. In the substitute. Can I have unanimous consent that we remove that space? I'm not seeing any objection. So
thank you.
We will remove that. I'm so sorry, Attorney Haas. I did make a note and I completely looked past it.
So did I. Thank you.
All right. So we have no further business before us. And Alder Madison, it's your turn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of adjournment? Seeing no objection, we stand adjourned. Thank you all. Have a good night.
You too.